Amen. Now then, today, you know, I don't have to tell you much when it comes to sin. Anybody know about sin? you know, that's an odd question to ask, isn't it? But that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about that dreaded word, three-letter word, sin, that we don't like to talk about, that we don't like to hear about. As a matter of fact, for many, sin is an enjoyable kind of thing if you're living in it. But the Lord has a different view of what He thinks about sin. And it's not a good view. But I want to start in the book of Genesis this morning, and then we'll work our way forward. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, starting in verse 8, I'm going to read just a few verses of Scripture to you this morning. I'm going to stop, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll move forward. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and starting in verse 8, I'm reading this out of the New King James Version. And it says here in the word of the Lord, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said in verse 10, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself.'" And then in verse 13 it says, to 11 it says, "And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?'" And I'm going to stop right there and pray. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the message that will go forth this morning, Heavenly Father. God, I ask you now to hide me behind the cross. Lord, let your word flow from me as nothing more than a willing vessel that's bringing you the honor, bringing you all the glory that you deserve. And God, for those that hear your word today, including myself, Lord, I pray that we can apply this word to our lives and better equip ourselves, Heavenly Father, to be obedient to you and stand against the fight of sin. And Lord, we ask this all now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to say something right here this morning, church family. When I read this, I've read this many times. I've preached on this many times. But according to the lectionary today, some of this, what I'm about to share with you, comes from the lectionary. But today, Adam and Eve heard the footsteps of the Lord walking in the breeze of the garden. And Adam hid himself. It says in the Word of God I read to you, it says he hid himself from the presence of the Lord. And God called out to the man. God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And then he confesses and tells God that I hid myself because I am naked. Now let me just expound on that right there. That says volumes to me this morning. Because you know, when you're living in sin, you will hide yourself. You will hide yourself from the Lord because sin brings shame. Did you know that this morning? Sin will bring you to shame. You will become afraid living the life of sin. And you want to hide. You don't want nobody to know. But let me tell you something this morning, church family. If you don't know this morning, what I'm about to say, you can't hide from sin. Amen? You can't hide yourself from sin because sin does two things. It leaves you open and it leaves you exposed. Sin brings dishonor. Sin brings shame. Sin brings guilt. And sin brings fear. And then once you get all those things combined, see, you're under the bondage of sin. You become slave to sin Because you know deep down you're doing wrong. You know deep down you're sinning, but you keep on doing it. Because you don't want, then you get in this thing where you don't want nobody to know about it. And you think you can keep it hidden and keep it secret. But sin is very ugly. Amen? Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? Sin is very ugly. And once it's exposed, it gets even uglier. And it's not very pretty to see. But listen, sin is a real thing. Look around your world. Look around at the things that's going on in the world. Sin will cause you to be afraid. Sin will cause you to hide yourself. Sin will cause you to hide yourself from the world. Sin will cause you to hide yourself from the Lord. Sin will cause you to have bondages. Sin will cause you to have hindrances. Sin will have put up roadblocks in front of you. Listen, the devil wants you to sin today. The devil wants you to fall into the pit that he's laid before you. Sin is the only thing that sin will bring you is death. The only thing that sin will bring you is under condemnation. But listen, those that are in God today, those that are in Christ today, there's those that are living in churches today. Even preachers today that are living under the condemnation of sin. And this should not be so. Amen? I told you it was going to be ugly. I told you it was going to be not pretty. Sin's not pretty. Sin is not pretty. And I've said this a zillion times. This flesh will let you do whatever you desire for you it to do. Now let me tell you, you don't have to flip there, but you can write down the scriptures and read them for yourself later on. But over in the book of 1 Samuel, that comes from our lectionary this week, in chapter 8. Over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to flip over real quick. Maybe I can get over it real quick. I don't want to read to you this morning what it says right here out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now listen to these words of God today. Starting in verse 4, I believe it is. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you're old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Goes on to say, but the thing that displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. It says that Samuel, it says there in the Word of God, that Samuel went to the Lord and he prayed. And he said, so Samuel went to pray to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice and show them their behavior of the king who will reign over them." Listen. I want to tell you something else about sin today. See, these elders came to Samuel and they said, "Hey, you're an old guy. You're an old man. And your sons, they don't follow the ways that you do. So we want a king. We want somebody to rule over us." And so Samuel went to the Lord and he prayed and talked to the Lord about it. And then the Lord told Samuel, "Listen to what they are saying. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." How many people out in the world today do you think are rejecting God? Rejecting the cross, rejecting the death, the life, death, and the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ today. But then it says in the Word of God that the Lord told Samuel, "Listen to them, and then go back and tell them. This is what's going to happen if a king is appointed over you." And I'm going to read it to you. Now, this is what sin brings. Amen. This is what sin brings right here. It goes on to say this right here. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen. And some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will also take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, and put them to work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of the king whom you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. It says that the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. And so the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city." Now listen, I want to tell you something real serious this morning about sin. A lot of times, just like we heard this morning, we got a vision out here to fill up a parking lot full of yard sale of items, and the Lord is mighty blessing. Sometimes you better be careful what you ask for, because the Lord will give it to you. Amen. He will give it to you. These people wanted a king. They wanted a king to rule over them. They rejected God. They were living in sin. They were doing sin. And God told Samuel, "Go ahead and tell them we're going to give them a king. But this is what's going to happen. This is what the king's going to do when he rules over them. So you better be careful when you're sinning out in the world, because whatever you ask, whatever you're desiring, you may just get what you desire, but you may not want it. It may not benefit you." Amen? You agree with that this morning, church family? It may not benefit you. You may not like it once you get it. You know, I used to live in a world of sin. Anybody else? Any hands? Okay, amen. Thank you, brother. I used to live in a world of sin. I thought I liked it at one time. But you know what? The more I got deeper and deeper into the life of sin, I hated it. My life was upside down, twisted, sideways, you name it. I didn't know if I was coming or going. But then the Lord come along. Amen? Then the Lord come along. The Lord said, "You don't want to live in sin? I'll show you what it's like to live in sin. I'll show you what it's like to live in bondage. I'll show you what it's like to live in confusion. I'll show you what it's like to live in slavery. If you want to go that far, I'll show you what it's like, but you're not going to like it." You know what the Bible says about sin? Sin's only good for a season. The follies of sin is only good for a season, and then you got to pay for it. Amen? When you sin, you got to pay for it. Somebody's got to pay for it. When I sin, I got to pay for it. Somebody's got to pay the price. All right, moving on. Is this good to you so far this morning? It's going to get better now. Hold on. Well, just hold with me. Let me flip the page here. Wow. You know, when you let sin in, it takes control of you. Amen? It don't take control of you all at once. You know, I used to smoke a long time ago. Anybody else? I used to smoke. I'm not going to tell you. I used to smoke. I ain't no secret. I used to smoke a long time ago. But I didn't smoke. I didn't start smoking a pack a day right off the bat. I started off with one. Started off with one cigarette. And then it gradually increased. But you know what the funny thing about that is? It got to the point where I couldn't quit. And then I struggled and I battled. I struggled and I battled. A pack a day until when I was 30, Christ come along, and that was one of the desires, other than drinking, two desires. I wanted to stop drinking and stop smoking. And guess what? It was a battle. It was hard because it had control of me. See, sin does that to you. It don't just come in all at once. It comes in little by little, and then it takes over. Then it takes control of you. Then it gains power over you. You know, kind of like a bully does. He just comes in and takes your lunch money, starts off one day taking your lunch money, next thing you know, he's taking it every day until you're able to stand up against him and black his eye. And that's what you got to do to sin sometimes. You got to punch sin right where it hurts. And the only thing that's going to save you is the Lord. That's the only thing that saved me. Even when I was walking in my ministry at the beginning, I wanted to quit smoking. I wanted to quit dipping. Then I traded smoking for dipping. And dipping was a harder problem to quit than smoking was. It was a bondage. And I was letting the power of sin control me. Now you say, preacher, how do you know it's a sin to smoke? How do you know it's a sin to dip? Well, anything that has a control over you is sin. Amen? I believe that. Anything that you're letting have control over you, if it's smoking, drinking, dipping, drugs, those guys at work are going to kill me tomorrow. But you know what? The Lord is good. The Lord is favorable to us. He can break those bondages. He can break the yoke of bondage if we trust Him, if we give it over to Him. You know what I had to do? I had to finally make up my mind. I had to finally say, Lord, I don't want this no more. I want to go on to another level. I want to be able to throw these things in the garbage and throw them down. And you know, the only way I've defeated smoking, the only way I defeated dipping, the only way I defeated drinking was by the power of God's own might. By the hand of God Himself, He took all that away from me. And I didn't have to worry about it. And I haven't touched a cigarette. I haven't touched any alcohol. I haven't touched any kind of dip. And now I think that's just the worst stuff in the world. You say, well, how do you know God's real? When you let God have control, He can do all things through you. All things are possible with God, but with man, nothing is possible. There's nothing possible with me. Did you know that? There's nothing possible with you. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And if you don't know that this morning, you need to be up here in this altar. You need to be down on your knees praying to the Lord because all things are possible with God. You say, well, I can't stop doing that. I can't quit doing that. I can't do this. I can't do that. The Lord says different. Amen? If you're a child of God, the Lord says different. The Lord says you can do it and you will do it if you let Him have control and put your faith and trust in Him. Now, let me read to you real quickly out of Romans. And I want to read something very interesting. I'm always fascinated by this. With Paul, when Paul writes over in the book of Romans chapter 7, I'm always fascinated with this. I've always been fascinated with this. Even from the time I started learning about the Bible, I've always been fascinated with this very passage of Scripture right here. In Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I'm going to read them to you this morning because it's very fascinating to me. What Paul would write. Paul was not an ignorant man. Paul was a very educated man. He was a very smart man. But yet, I want you to listen to what he says. Paul says in chapter 7, starting in verse 15, Paul writes here, he writes in the Word of God. He says, I do not understand what I do. Anybody else? I do not understand what I do. Sometimes I don't understand what I do. Anybody else with me this morning? I don't understand what I do sometimes. I don't understand it. Then he goes on to say, he's got some smiles going on here. I don't understand what I do sometimes. Dennis, I don't understand what I do sometimes. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But it goes on to say, he says, for what I want to do, I do not do. Paul, an educated man, high in society. He says, for what I want to do, I don't do it. Anybody else? Sometimes what I want to do, I just don't do it. And why? I don't know. I just don't know. But it goes on to say, but what I hate, I do. Is that not a contradiction right there? Is that not some conflict going on? What I hate, that's what I do. Is that not crazy or what? Paul, right here, writes this. And he says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. You now there's the key. Right there, you want to know why you don't do what you want to do? You want to know why your pastor doesn't do what he wants to do, but he hates what he hates he does? It's because there's sin that's living in me that still has the control over me. Does that make any sense to you this morning? Paul, an educated man, is writing this right here. He's saying the things that he wants to do, he does not do, but the things that he hates, he does. And it's because of the sin that's living inside of him. He hasn't fully given it over to God yet. So that might help you and me this morning. It goes on to say this. And it says, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. Now let me tell you something, what I think this means this morning. Your flesh, let me just use my flesh, not your flesh. Let me use my flesh. My flesh is a sinful flesh. Anybody else? My flesh is sinful. I know what is good. I know what is good and honorable in the sight of God. But this flesh, it doesn't. It doesn't care. It doesn't care. Now, in your spirit man, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. But the flesh doesn't care. But then Paul goes on to say this. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. How many in the house of God today have the desire to do good? I know every hand should be raising on this one. I know your heart. I know that you have as much desire to do good as I do. But sometimes, for whatever reasons, we can't carry it out. Maybe you don't like that person. Maybe you want to do good to somebody, but you just can't do it because you don't like that person. Maybe that person hurts you. Maybe you hate that person. Maybe there's I don't know what it is. Maybe there's a vendetta that you're holding against that person. And you want to do good in your spirit, man, but your flesh won't let you. That's the sin part. That's living, breathing, manifested, and growing. Sin that's left uncontrolled, it just grows. It just manifests. It gets bigger. It gets bigger and bigger. That's why there's so much hate in the world. That's why people hate each other. Because sin is allowed to run rampant, and it just manifests in our hearts, and it just continues to grow like a monster. Now, going on, I'm almost done here. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, this is coming from Paul. This is what Paul wrote. He said the evil that he don't want to do, he does. And he goes on to say, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So he says, I find this a law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's love. In your spirit man, deep down in your spiritual being, your main goal, your main desire is to delight in the love of God. Amen? I love God. In my spirit man, deep down, I love God. But yet, at the same time, sin is right there beside me. It's right here. It's right here at my fingertips. Does that make any sense to you this morning? It's right there. And there's another law at work. There's another thing at work going on. The spirit is waging war against the flesh. And Paul says, what a wretched man am I. What a wretched man. Then he goes on. I have to finish this. Let me finish this right here, and then I'm going to close. Man, this is great. But Paul goes on to say, who will rescue me? Who will rescue me from this turmoil? Who will rescue me from this tribulation? Who will rescue me? Who will rescue you today if that's the way you feel in your heart? If that sin is alive and well in your physical being today, who will rescue you? I tell you who's going to rescue you today. There's only one that can rescue you today, and that's the Lord. Amen? That's the only one that can set you free from the law of sin. Listen, the cross to me is a lot of things. We were in Sunday school this morning. I was already trying to preach my sermon to Delana. I was already trying to preach my sermon to Delana this morning, and I said, you're probably going to hear some of this again this morning. You know, like preachers like to preach their sermons a little pre-preaching before the actual sermon gets here. I do. I don't know about you. But anyway, deep down, the flesh is waging against the spirit. And the only thing that's going to save you is the Lord. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can break the yoke of bondage. Now listen, I'm going to close with this right here. This is my last words. Jamie, if you want to come on up, that'd be fine. Let me tell you, and I thought about the cross today. You know, I thought about the cross of Christ. A lot of people think, oh gosh, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Man, that was the cross of Christ. He went to die and do the will of the Father. And that's partially right. That's partially true. Jesus Christ did go to the cross and he did die on the cross as being part of the will of the Father. But there's a second part there. That cross was meant for you. It was meant for me. The cross of Christ is your cross. It was your shame. It was my shame, my guilt, my dishonor, my condemnation, my pain, my suffering. That Jesus stepped inside and said, I'll take your place. So you won't have to suffer all those things. You won't have to suffer humiliation and disgrace and dishonor. The Lord honored you and me by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And he's still honoring us today and still forgiving those who are living a life of sin. All things done in secret, according to the Word of God, will be brought to light. Listen, someday, when you and me die, we're going to stand before the Lord. And he's going to open that book of life up, and he's going to look for your name. That's the first thing that's going to happen. If your name's in that book of life, that's going to be good. But all the sins, I hope and pray that daily you're asking God to forgive you of your sins. I ask God every day. I say, Lord, forgive me for any sin that I've done today. Because I don't want to get to heaven and be held accountable for any kind of sin that I forgot to ask God to forgive me for. I want to be able to just check on in and move right on into heaven. Anybody else? I want to be able just to move right on in. I don't want to be held up at the gates. I don't want to have to stand there in line. You know, kind of like when you get in Jack's and you're waiting on your food and there's 20 cars ahead of you and you don't know why the line ain't moving. I want the line to be moving. And when it comes my time to go in, Dennis, I want God, the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome in. Come on in. We got your house waiting on you. It's ready. It's all furnished. You ain't got to do nothing but just move right in. And that's it. It's over. And man, I'm going to be hitting the streets of gold. I'm going to be doing some dancing out there. And I don't know what I'll do first. But I want to meet Jesus first. And I want to meet the Lord, Lord God first. And then after that, I'll look you guys up. Okay? So don't take it offensive. But it's going to be a great time when we all get to heaven. Amen? It's going to be a great time. So don't let nothing hold you. Don't let nothing hinder you. Don't let nothing keep you from entering into the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, I can keep going on and on and on this morning. Lord, the Spirit is here this morning. God, we brought the Spirit of your Spirit here with us, the Holy Spirit this morning. We brought it with us this morning, God. And God, I thank you for each person that's been here today, that's heard the Word. Lord, the glorious music that Jamie's been playing on the piano today, Heavenly Father. God, we just ask you to continue to bless her. Lord, bless these that are here today. Lord, bless those that are on social media today, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that everything that we've done and said today, Lord, to be to help somebody. And Lord, and most importantly, God, that you be honored and glorified as you've been lifted up today. And Lord, we just praise you today. We love you today, Heavenly Father. God, continue to do a mighty work in our lives today, Heavenly Father, and every day, Heavenly Father. God, as we go out of the house of God today, God, let us take our ministry out on the streets, Heavenly Father, where we work, where we shop, where we play, where we our communities, our neighborhoods, our schools, Lord. Anywhere we go, Lord, let us be the ones to be in ministry, Lord, to witness to someone else. God, we ask you to help us continue to bring people into this church, Heavenly Father, and the church universal, God. Lord, there's so many people out there that need you. So many people out there that need to change their lives for the good. And Lord, and live a good, godly life, Heavenly Father, and turn against sin, Lord, and be blessed by your hand, Heavenly Father. And Lord, there's still room at the cross. Lord, if there be one today that's watching on Facebook, or there one here under the sound of my voice today, Heavenly Father, that doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray that today would be today, Lord, that they fall down and ask for Jesus to come on into their heart and let them become their Lord and Savior, Lord. And God, we thank you now, and we ask this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.